Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Murder. Ba-ba-da-ba. Welcome to Death Do Us Part podcast, hosted by my wife, Jamie.
Hello.
And myself, Mark. What up, y'all?
Hey. Dude, I'm going to mother a fucking roll.
You know what? First of all, let's start off. I'm talking to a real live hero.
Oh my God, shut up.
Babe, tell the story.
No.
Yes, it was posted on Facebook and you should be recognized
for it. So the only reason I'm going to tell it is because the irony of it all.
Right.
Okay. So I go to Texas Roadhouse the other day to see Leah. So Jax and I are standing outside the to-go window.
Right.
And her girlfriend are standing there. And her girlfriend has a necklace on that says 222.
Yeah, which and I've never like, heard of before.
Hey, in my most polite mom voice, I was like, hey, fuck does that mean? She's like, it means right place, right time. I'm going to get a tattoo of it. And I was like,
oh, God.
Oh, that's clever. I said, how does 222 equal that? Right. As we're talking about it.
And why are you getting it?
Right. The hostess comes up and tells Leah. And we called an ambulance. There's an ambulance coming. Just direct them to there. And Leah just could have broke her fucking neck turning around looking at me. And I was like, hi.
Said, paramedic
I'm
here.
A paramedic if you need anything. And she's like, you are? And I'm like, yeah. A family member must have heard as I was coming around because she's like, well, come inside. And the family member heard and she's like, you're a paramedic? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, I'll take you to him. I'm like, okay. So I have never seen a restaurant so crowded in my life.
Oh, ever. Texas Roadhouse is always packed.
Ever. So, yeah. Of course, I have my giant purse with me,
mm-hmm.
my giant child with me.
Mm-hmm.
Leah immediately takes Jackson and pulls him inside with her.
Right.
So he doesn't follow me. And I'm hitting people with my purse trying to get through. And
right.
I get up to the table and there's an elderly gentleman who appeared
to have a heart attack.
Not alive. And that was my first thought.
Yeah.
I thought I was about to pull him on the ground and do CPR, actually. Yeah. And there was a gentleman standing next to him and said, you know, he's not responsive. He's breathing normal, but his heartbeat is kind of weak. And I was like, okay. I thought he was the manager of the restaurant. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So, he was unresponsive, but I got him to talk. I did a couple things waiting for the medics to get there. And you know what? I will say, since we're all talking about it, I want to give Joliet credit, the two guys that came with Joliet. Because mm-hmm. normally when you, as a paramedic on an ambulance, pull up to a scene and there's a bystander there.
Tell them to get fucked?
Yeah. You'll listen to what they have to say and then you pretty much ignore it and move on because you don't know. Like,
right.
People say what things that they are, but they're not.
I'm a nurse when you're a CNA, so when you clean up poop.
When he came
nothing up. Nothing against
but
that.
But that's what it is. Yeah. Right. So when they walked in, I said, do you want the rundown? And he's like, yeah. So I was like, all right. And I gave him the quick rundown and he's like, all right, where do you work? And I told him. And then I got the cot ready and, you know, we got the guy in the cot and whatever. And then they got him in the ambulance and the family was outside and there was a younger granddaughter there who was freaking out. So I calmed her down. I was like, he was arguing with me by the time they picked him up. And she's like, he was? And I'm like, yeah. Like telling me, I asked him if he could say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You know?
Yeah.
And he's like, no. I said, can you? And he's like, no. I said, you can, but you won't. And he's like, no. Okay. So you're not going to answer me. Got it. Cool.
But I got to give you credit because they posted on Joliet area.
Restaurants and something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Sam found it.
Yeah. And they thanked you. Yep. So.
Yeah, and Sam
good
had
job,
just
babe.
Sam had just heard from
Sam, your
Leah.
Sister.
Yeah, sorry, had just heard from Leah what happened, and then happened to go on Facebook and see it.
Yep, isn't that crazy? So good job, you're a hero.
I'm not a hero.
I'm talking to a hero.
Whatever. They were They were thankful though that I kind of calmed the
little girl down. Yeah, and they said that on on their post
that
too.
I stayed to
calm
talk them
down.
Yeah. So
good job, babe.
Whatever. I was surprised though that the Joliet guys were like, "Can you hand me that strap?" And I'm like, "Yeah, all right." So no, and I kind of laughed because I was like, it was kind of like my uncle.
Yeah.
So right before. Just a short one, right before your thing.
Yeah.
4th of July. I was at my stepmom's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting next to my uncle. And we're drinking. And I was like, "Hey, how the fuck are your ankles so swollen?" He's like, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "Your ankles are swollen. You're going to be in heart failure and you're going to fucking die." And he just looked at me and I was like, "I'm a little drunk, but you should probably go see a doctor."
Yep. And
he did. And
he was in heart failure.
He was in heart failure. So...
You saved his life,
now
too.
Now he's living on a fucking golf course.
Yeah,
golfing how
nice.
Many times a week. He's off half his meds. He's doing great. He looks great.
Good
he
for
really
him.
He really does look good, yeah.
Good for him.
So, yeah, right place, right time.
Man.
I guess, yeah.
I would sing that hero song, but...
I would prefer that you didn't.
Heroes.
Leah's manager was impressed, so, you know, there's that.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Maybe she'll get a bonus.
And then I proceeded to eat so much food, I got violently ill.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I got.
And you still brought me a burger home.
I did.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was fucking delicious.
Jax and I waddled to the fucking car, and then I was like, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, you were not good when we got came
I was
home.
Not well.
Yeah.
No.
You guys woke me up. You're like, I'm fucking sick as fuck. Jax is like, Dad, mom is not good. I'm like, I don't know, dude. I took my night meds. Yeah. Like, it's 11 o'clock
well,
at night. Like, I
you
can't
have,
stay up.
You have traumatized him with your violent, loud vomiting.
Vomiting, yeah.
So, we were going to go bowling.
Yeah.
And we got all the way to the bowling alley, and I had to pull over in, like, a side lot because I was like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, no.
I'm glad you made it home, though.
Well, anybody who knows me knows I have a fear of vomiting.
Yeah.
And then when I do throw up, I cry for like an hour, like a fucking toddler.
You do.
So
you definitely.
But
do.
I'm very quiet about it. Nobody. I just yeah. I
you
hate,
are
so,
a quiet throw
I
upper.
I am. So I like willed myself not to. I thought I was going to. Like I got out of the car. Jax turned the radio up. He put a sweatshirt over his head. Mm-hmm. Like so.
Yeah.
But then as soon as I got out of the car, then I was in pain. I wasn't just nauseous. I was like in fucking pain.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'm gonna go home. You got to come home with me. And he's like, okay. I'll drive. No, no. He's like, come on, I look old enough to drive. I'm like,
you he do. Does actually, but
and tomorrow's his 11th birthday.
Oh my God, little bubs.
You always double down on 11.
Yeah.
My little bubbies.
So two things. Number one, people, we had a two-parter of Pain and Gain on Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
It did not mean it to turn into it. It just
no,
did.
But I'm not just saying it just so you'll sign up for Patreon, but it was excellent. So if you want to hear ad-free, you get access to all bonus episodes, no matter what tier you're on, www.patreon.com/deathdoaspart1. Not Oneaters. So that's my first thing. Second thing, thank you everyone who showed up to C2E2.
Oh my God.
We had the biggest crowd that we've talked to. Everyone was so into it.
Yeah. Props to the lady who brought us booze.
Yes. Thank you.
She was the best. She said that she saw us there last year.
Yeah.
Spent the whole year listening to us.
Right.
And said, I have a gift for you guys, and brought moonshine
booze.
And Fireball.
Yeah.
Which I had to finally put down because I kept trying to open it. And then she was like, and this is a true listener. She's like, what was Jackson's joke?
Right.
And that was how many fucking episodes ago?
Oh, my God. We couldn't remember it,
but
he found a good one. Yeah, he found a different one that was good.
That I had to whisper in her ear because I wouldn't say that one out loud.
Right.
Yeah. So.
But thank you guys so much for coming out.
Yeah.
I know we got a lot of new listeners, so thank you so much. Great. It was a great time in Chicago.
It was. That's probably the best convention we've had.
Yeah, and Jax was pumped because he got a bigger ovation than we did.
He talked about that all fucking... Man, they applauded louder for me than they did for you and Dad. And I was did. I said, I'm still trying to figure out how the fuck you got upstairs before we did.
Yeah, so if you are a new listener and you were there, thank you so much. We had a blast.
Yeah, it was great.
You guys had great questions. Yeah. You guys were into it. We... loved it. And we were sorry we were a couple minutes late.
Oh, my God.
Handicap parking lot seriously is an issue at McCormick.
It is. Place. Because when you say, where's handicap parking? And first answer was, I don't know. Yeah. And then the next seven answers were,
oh, there's not.
There is no more. There is no more. You have to make more. What do you mean there is no more?
Yeah, it's law.
So then we get into a lot where, incidentally enough, is the same fucking lot we parked in last year, and the same thing happened last year.
Yeah, but the guy's like, oh no, there's 50 parking lots
and
underneath.
And by that time,
like,
we don't have time.
Dude, we don't have time. Like,
and then I got,
and your other co-workers are telling us no.
And then I got sent to will call three different ways.
Yeah.
My...
It's so... The problem is C2E2 is so huge.
Yeah. And the way the floors
McCormick
are there.
At McCormick Place. It's, yeah, it's weird.
So this, it's like one, two, two and a half, three, four. But like, no offense to anybody that works there. Nobody knows what floor they're on.
No, they don't.
So, and I ran a lot.
Yeah.
And then I'm running up flights of stairs with an earbud in, and all I get is, message from Mark. Where are you? Message from Jackson. Did you get lost? And I'm screaming, stop fucking texting me! I'm running.
Yeah.
We literally ran.
But we made it, like 2 or 3 minutes late? But the room was packed.
Took a minute to die.
Yeah.
Because I was dying.
Yeah. I had to take over for a few minutes.
Pants are falling down.
Yeah, because you're losing so much
hair
fucking
was
weight.
Fucking stuck to me. I was like, ugh. I walked in and I looked at everybody. I was like, I ran. A lot. I need a minute. Everybody seemed to understand, though. So
thank God your sugar was okay,
Jesus
though.
Fuck.
Oh man, that
we are not a running family.
No, not at all. Not at all.
No.
So yeah, those were the two main things that I wanted to get out there. So
sorry to the two security guards I yelled at. I'm not
sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
I'm really not.
Know your fucking job.
Yeah, and then when I said find somebody who works for C2E2, what do you mean?
Yeah, right.
I'm what?
Right.
Maybe don't hire people off the street and hand them a shirt as they walk in.
Exactly.
Because that's exactly what it looked like
happened. That's what, yep. Jesus Christ. And then one of the chicks was high as fuck.
Dude.
And yeah, like, dude, know who you're hiring.
Man, costumes though this year were great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were good.
There were some good ones.
A rip
but
from Yellowstone walking around.
Yeah, but I got to admit, like, I don't think it was as good as last year.
But it was
and
also
like,
a Friday afternoon, so I was shocked at the crowd that we had on a Friday afternoon. But.
Yeah, I was surprised with that, but last year I think the guests were a little bit better.
But weren't we there on a Saturday last year?
We might have.
Sunday?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
We might have been.
But we did meet Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Who, very, very nice.
Amazing.
Very
if you
soft-spoken.
Watch, yeah, if you watch wrestling, you know Samoa Joe.
I had to fucking run for that, too, because I went looking for something.
He was amazing to Jax.
Yeah.
One of the nicest guys we've met.
He is, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So that's
I was a
about
little
it.
Sad to not see like Uncle McFoley there because you know we
he's
see
there
him
at
fucking
every,
everywhere.
Yeah, he's at every fucking convention.
Next time
at.
I'm just gonna be like, do you want to go get a beer?
Let's get a beer.
Come on.
Yeah, seriously.
Because I would die.
It was having so a fun. Beer with McFoley.
When we met him, and the lady was like, "It's so nice to see the younger people get into wrestling." And I was like, "Man, we're here for me."
Right.
This is like the seventh time we've seen him, and I was finally
Where's
like,
"The first
we are
time we
him.
Saw him at." Was it Columbus or Louisiana?
No, Columbus, because then we did Columbus, then Louisiana.
Then
and
Louisiana.
He was at every fucking one.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I was like, no, we're here for me.
Oh,
this is for me.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah. Kevin Nash was also very, very
Ruby
nice.
Soho.
She was great.
She was amazing.
She, for 2 days, she would say hi to Jackson when we walked by.
Yeah, she was really, really cool. But it's crazy because I hear so many and I read so many bad things about Kevin Nash.
Oh God, he was so online. Nice. He got up and came to us because
he
of you.
Came up and yeah. he's like, "Oh, bro, don't worry about don't it. Get don't up. Get
I'll,
up.
I'll come to I'll, you."
Yeah, he was amazing.
Oh, fucking 9 feet of him.
Yeah. Oh, he's tall, man. I didn't realize how fucking tall he was.
If he had tits, they would have sat on my head.
On your head.
Like literally on my head. He tried to put his arm around me, and I think it ended up like in my shoulders.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hear so many bad stories about him.
No, he was very nice.
And he was amazing.
He was super nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Jax was all excited.
That was our weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you knocked this one out quick.
Since yesterday.
You knocked this out in a day.
Yeah, I started it yesterday.
This is going to be a good episode.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain what we have?
So. We're doing the Tall Hot Blonde Murders.
Which I'm not
familiar with. Excuse me.
I'm not familiar with.
It could also be like the first catfish murder, stuff like that. So
yeah.
It was a catfish before catfish became a term.
Became a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited to hear about it, but I know nothing about it.
There's a twist.
You told me we were doing it, I didn't even look it up to see.
Yeah. There's a twist.
Anything about it. So all this is going to be new to me.
All right.
So.
Do you want to just dive right in?
I think we should just dive right in.
Sounds good to me.
Let's do it.
All right. So, according to CNN, catfishing is when a person uses false information and images to create a fake identity online with the intention to trick, harass, or scam another person. It's often done on social media and dating apps. It's a common tactic to form online relationships under false pretenses. A lot of people use it for financial scams, identity theft, sextortion. The term is believed to have originated from the 2010 documentary Catfish.
And can I tell a quick story? I don't know if you remember this, but Catfish came to our town that I worked in.
Oh my God, I do remember that. Yep. Yes, because it became a TV show. Yeah.
And MTV came to our, and I was in charge of our detective division, and I was told to contact MTV mm-hmm. and let them know, like, hey, this isn't the area you want to be doing catfishing.
Right, because this is plenty of fish murders left and right
out
there.
So they still came out. Mm-hmm. I had someone write back and was like, you know, I'm not in charge of it. Like, MTV is their own individual thing. They're going to do what they want. The entire department had to come in for it mm-hmm. and ride around waiting for a fucking shooting to happen. Yep.
Because, I mean, realistically speaking, there's been how many of Plenty of Fish robberies?
Yes.
That was the one that it was a Plenty of Fish robbery that my girl Kate said it's the best time she's ever seen you. When you came up to the back with your hands tucked in your vest and you're like, well, that didn't work out how you wanted it to, did it?
That wasn't this catfish.
No, that was a different one. That was a plenty of fish one.
It was like, yeah, that didn't work out the way you thought it was.
So Catfish, it was a documentary on MTV that ended up becoming a TV show with Nev Schulman. Now, the premise was he was doing a documentary on an online relationship that he had formed with who he thought was a woman named Megan, or a girl named Megan, whatever, woman. It wasn't. It was an older woman who was married. Was not.
Hot.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Now, in the final scene of the documentary, the woman's husband shares an anecdote about how live cod used to be exported from Alaska alongside catfish, which kept the cod active and alert.
Ooh.
And he said it's like people in real life who like to keep people on their toes.
Ah,
so that's where they think, that's where Nev Schulman came.
I gotcha.
So according to Cyber Smile Foundation, the most common reason people catfish is a lack of confidence. Someone's not happy with themselves and may feel happier when pretending to be someone more attractive to others. Like, Brad Paisley has a song.
Does he?
Yeah. I can't remember. Can't remember it now. It's funny, though. It's pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Other common reasons are to hide an identity to troll someone, to engage in a relationship other than their existing relationship.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Relationship, to extort or harass people, or to explore their sexual preference. So in 2005, before catfishing was even a term, 46-year-old Thomas Montgomery would find himself in a catfishing situation.
Ooh, dun dun dun.
The balding, middle-aged man had
been... Why you gotta throw that in there?
Because he's a twat face.
I'm just saying. I mean, you can't hate the guy.
He's a twat face.
Come on now.
Well,
you can't help
he's
balding.
Well, because he talks about his hair a lot.
Does he have a comb over?
No.
Oh.
But he talks about his hair a lot. It's not there. So, yeah, we're throwing it in
there. And it's not there.
No. The balding, middle-aged man had been married to his wife, Cindy, who was a nurse, for 16 years and had two daughters, 12 and 14.
I feel like there's a lot of Cindys that are nurses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every Cindy that, like, every nurse... Or, like, one of the nurses, when I've gone to the hospital, I guarantee his name's Cindy. Huh. I'm just throwing that out there.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. So, he had spent every weekday for the last 12 years working at Dynabraid Factory in Clarence, New York, which was by Buffalo. He was a machinist, so he stood at a machine punching out parts for power tools. Like fucking Groundhog Day.
Yeah, right?
He would come home, walk the family dog's shadow, then take his daughters to swim practice at the local swim club, where he was the vice president.
Ooh.
He also taught Sunday school.
Did he really?
Shocking.
You know, my mom teaches it now. CCD classes.
I thought about your mom earlier because I put a shower cap on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't wash my extensions every
day. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's the same exact one she has in the downstairs shower. And I was going to come downstairs and be like, I'm Mary.
But oh, my then, God, if you did, I'd punch you.
I thought about your mom again later.
Yeah.
Writing this up, and I'll tell you when I get to that point.
Okay. Okay.
So he taught Sunday school. Okay. Life was uneventful for the most part. His only entertainment was Friday night poker with the guys from work, which he would play online. He would play Texas Hold'em on Pogo.com.
Yeah.
This was like beginning internet shit.
2005, yeah.
Yeah. He also was the yearly Dynabraid Euchre champion. I don't know what euchre is. And I forgot to look it up.
Yeah, I don't know. So,
sorry.
Sure.
Surrey.
Sure.
So he really tried to be... My Surrey... Oh, you said sure and my Surrey went off.
By the way, you fucking bought one of these pies from the gas station and you didn't get one for me?
No.
You motherfucker.
Anyways, so he tried to be a good father and a husband, but the marriage was just kind of there.
Yeah.
His job was boring, and he was in a sexist relationship because he was hopelessly impotent.
Yeah.
So apparently, nobody's wieners in the last couple stories want to work.
Right. Because pain and gain, they didn't work either.
Mm-mm.
I can't help it. I have my moments.
Okay, but I feel like... If you're, never mind, moving on. So in the spring of 2005, Thomas, who went by Marine Sniper online.
Ooh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Focus. Was on Pogo in a gaming chat room.
Call me Night Ranger.
It's Nighthawk.
Nighthawk.
When a message popped up from someone by the name Tall Hot Blonde.
Ooh.
She said someone with the name Marine Sniper was probably too old to be in that particular room.
Yeah.
Because he was.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because he's 46.
Yee.
Okay. He saw the profile picture, realized not only was she a teenager, but she was hot. And got nervous about responding.
So we have like an American Beauty situation
as
going on?
As you should, because you're a 46-year-old man in a teenage chat room.
Teenagers now.
This was in 2005. I don't want to talk about it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So in 30 seconds, he made a life-altering decision.
Oh, geez.
And responded. Thomas told Tall Hot Blonde that he was 18-year-old Tommy, a newly enlisted Marine bound for Iraq after boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas had actually been in the Marines. That was his life goal, to be an actual sniper.
Okay.
He would brag about his time in the Marines as a sniper and say they were the best days of his life and yada, yada.
Yeah.
In reality, according to military documentation, he did qualify as a sharpshooter, but had never trained as a sniper, was never deployed, and was never in an area to see any quote-unquote action.
Yeah, but it still probably was the best time of his life.
It probably was.
Because he's got a boring life now.
Right, it probably was, but he was not a sniper. So, Tall Hot Blonde was actually a 17-year-old named Jessie from West Virginia.
Jessie's girl.
She played varsity basketball and softball and would be graduating high school soon and had just been on the homecoming court.
Flip the page.
Jessie was, in fact, at the time, tall, hot, and blonde. And within hours, proved it by sending who she thought was Tommy.
Yeah.
Several pictures, including a bikini pic.
Ooh.
Now, Thomas had chatted
with
others before, but never really like this.
Yeah.
And never somebody so attractive, is what he said. Jessie opened up about her life. She had a younger brother. And a stay-at-home mom who was still married to her dad, who worked very long hours. She had a thing for men in uniform.
Mm-hmm, as most do.
And she begged Tommy for a picture of him in his uniform. So he sends her a picture of him in his uniform.
Do you want me to dress up in my uniform?
No.
If it fits.
The picture he sent her was from 30 years ago.
Oh, Jesus.
And you see this picture, and you look at it and go...
Can't you tell?
That was from 30 years ago.
They're right.
Uh-huh.
Hello.
Cool.
That's not recent.
I mean, you could just tell by, like, the film. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, it had to have been, like, blurry and shit, right?
Yeah. So then Thomas then opens up to Jessie about Tommy. So now this is the story he spins about Tommy. His mom died of cancer when he was 12. His dad was in the military. He had felt nothing but hurt in the past and had not had very good luck in love.
Yeah.
One of the sources said that he told her that at 17, he was accused of raping a cheerleader.
Whoa.
So that's why he enlisted in the Marines. I couldn't find it in another source, so I'm not.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But
I
this
wonder
was,
how true that
this
is.
This was the story he made up about Tommy.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is all made up.
Okay, I gotcha.
He... at one point tells her that he joined the Marines just to get killed in Iraq.
What the fuck? Yeah. Lunatic?
Jessie begged him to stay safe and alive, and she was very moved by his openness and wanted to take care of Tommy and essentially become his protector. So he went on to tell her that he was going to boot camp for sniper training in June, and then he was going to be deployed to Iraq. Mm-hmm. So eventually they started talking on the phone. Very specific times, 6:30 a.m. to 6:40 a.m.
Yeah.
And then 3:30 to 3:40 p.m.
That is pretty specific.
Well, he said that was his allotment time when he was off duty.
Oh, okay.
Probably more than likely his drive to and from work.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah. They became very close very quickly. It turned sexual very quickly.
Whoa.
So Jessie would tell Tommy how proud she was of him, and he called her, quote, the best thing to ever happen to him. He told her he got a tattoo with their saying, which was the Marine Corps saying, always and forever, along with her name in a heart. Jessie would send him video montages of pictures set to songs like I Don't Want to Miss a Thing and I'm Already There.
Oh.
Great songs.
My high school fucking songs.
Great fucking songs.
Right?
So, now these photos actually caused the couple, and I use that term loosely, their first major fight. Thomas somehow became convinced that she was sending pictures to other online admirers, and as Tommy accused her of betraying him. She denied it, but to apologize, she sent a letter that she signed T&J in a heart and sent gifts.
What kind of gifts?
She sent a chain with a key to my heart charm on it.
Aww.
And a pair of her thong underwear.
Ooh, yeah. Babe. All right.
Stop it. She's 17 in this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Blech. Filthy. Blech. He is 46.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blech. Now, he would say later that this was the first time that he not only had gotten an erection, but had been able to come to ejaculation in years.
Wow. You know what? And I could believe that.
Focus, please. You're not focusing.
I'm sorry.
You're not focusing enough.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, my God. So, Jesse would talk about how she was worried about her future in college, and he said he wanted to be her future. Like I said, the chats were now sexual, very sexual. So, he's really kind of doubling down on this.
I want you to play with my wiener.
Oh, my God. Please stop. Doubling down on the Marine thing. He said he had finished boot camp and was deployed to Iraq, mm-hmm. and that he was mostly unreachable in, quote, enemy territory. Mm. So in order to keep talking to her, he created another persona, Tommy's dad, Tom Sr.
Oh.
So.
This guy, man.
Yeah. This was the only way he could continue to talk to Jesse and be in Iraq.
Yeah.
Now, he would later go on to say that he created Tom Sr. to try and break it off with her. Mm-hmm. Because he knew it was wrong, but I don't sure. fucking believe you.
Yeah, sure. So
Jesse would email pictures and send packages to Tom Sr., and he would forward them to Tommy in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
So now the whole photo thing.
Yeah.
Tommy may have forgiven her, but Thomas had not. He was still pissed. And he uses Tom Sr. to say as much. Tom Sr. would constantly bring it up to Jesse. And she would say, Tommy, quote, has let it go. Why won't you? And Tom Sr. would respond, quote, because you will hurt him and he's an idiot and will believe your lying ass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, all righty then.
I don't give trigger warnings very often. Everybody yeah. knows that. I didn't on the Patreon, obviously. But
yeah. You know what you're in for.
You know what you're in for, but like... Because of the context of this, that like...
Yeah, it's a minor.
And he gets graphic.
Does he really?
Yeah, so trigger warning on language in a little bit, which for me to give a trigger warning about language...
that's a big deal.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
So by Christmas, they're about 8 months in, Tommy proposes and Jesse accepts.
Wow.
He didn't send her a ring, but he sent her poinsettias, which I'd be like, what...
Fuck you.
Right. I'm a fucking plant.
Right.
It's not even a flower. It's a plant. You sent me a plant.
Let me throw it out right now.
So she sent more unders and now a dog tag that was engraved with Tom and Jesse always and forever.
Smoke break. Vape break. I need a vape.
Now, Jesse would write in her quote unquote diary, which I also had a hard time finding. I believe it was an online diary thing that police did find.
Okay.
So because there were some excerpts that they did have.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a paper diary.
Okay.
But I'm not exactly certain. I do know that police did have these exact things. So she would write in her diary that she was nervous about her, quote, first time when he returns from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
He was weirdly obsessed with her virginity.
Most guys are.
And would say things about saving herself and this, that, and the other.
Most guys are.
They said he took her cyber virginity, which is just creepy in and of itself.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. But then she wrote in her diary, quote, won't be long until I'm Jessica Blair Montgomery.
Hmm.
Ma'am.
Wow.
Honey, baby, sweetie child. So
this poor kid,
she would write to Tommy with concerns about his safety, saying, quote, I know you're being careful, honey, and you have the best with you, but I also know anything can happen. So, you know, he tried to use Tom Sr. to break it off, but he couldn't. He just couldn't stop. He would later say, quote, if I was smart, I would have just ended it. But it was like a drug that I needed every day.
Mm. Dude's addicted.
Ew.
Yeah, it's creepy, but he's addicted.
So now he doubles down again. He wrote her. He wrote a letter to himself on company letterhead paper in January of 06. Now, the police found this after his arrest.
Oh, really?
Spoiler alert. Yes, yeah. That's how we have it.
Okay.
This is what the letter said.
Oh, God.
On January 2nd, 2006, Tom Montgomery, 46 years old, ceases to exist, and he is replaced by an 18-year-old battle-scarred Marine.
Hmm.
What?
Sure.
Okay. Hang on. All paperwork is set, i.e. birth certificate, SS card. He is a strong, good-looking, battle-hardened boy. He has money in the bank, $2.5 million.
Whoa.
And a 9-inch penis.
Oh, hey-o.
And you didn't fucking hold back at all.
Right.
Exaggerating on that. I mean, I guess if you're like, well, if I'm going to have $2.5 million.
Right.
My dick might as well hit my knee. I don't know.
So
I
mean, coming from a guy, 9 inches is what, 4?
Yeah, but I mean, he's got 2.5 million.
Yeah.
So it's probably 14.
Right, yeah. Right.
He is handsome, like a red-haired Harrison Ford.
Mm.
She doesn't know who the fuck Harrison Ford is?
No.
Not at all.
No, he's an old geezer.
He is moving to West Virginia to be with the love of his life. Jesse was from West Virginia, in case you forgot.
Yeah.
He went on to say that he would be putting aside enough of his money that he didn't have for Cindy and his daughters and continued to describe the life he wanted with Jesse. He ended it with, quote, I wish I would know the exact time I would change to new Tom to prepare for it.
Hmm.
Thomas was beyond consumed. He was clearly obsessed.
Oh, yeah.
He constantly talked about her at work. And, like, would tell the guys at work that he was going to leave his wife and move to West Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, now, dude.
Cindy didn't know exactly what was going on, but knew something had changed.
Yeah.
She went on to say, quote, he wouldn't get off the internet. It gave him access to something he wouldn't have had otherwise. In February of 06, the shit hit the fan.
Oh, boy.
One of his daughters borrowed his computer.
Oh.
And while she was on the computer, an IM from Tall Hot Blonde popped up.
Yeah.
So she immediately went to her mom. Mm-hmm. Told her mom. Poor girl.
Yikes.
So Cindy was like, all right, well, if he's going to double down, I'm going to double down. So now she went through his shit.
Yeah.
She found all the gifts, including the fucking underwear and the letters.
Mm-hmm.
She found hundreds of pages of chats. Photos, goes through it all and figures out that not only is he essentially cheating on her, it's with a teenager because he's pretending to be a teenager.
Yeah. And he's obsessed.
Yeah. So now she knew her marriage wasn't the happiest, but this was too much.
Yeah.
She wrote him a letter and part of it said, quote, what I cannot believe is that you are living out some bizarre fantasy as a father and son. If you want to separate, we can, but to continue to lie to me and the kids while she is sending, quote, your son gifts in the mail is not acceptable. This poor lady.
Yeah.
So the couple remained in the same house, just logistically it was too much for Cindy to separate. So she kind of banished him to the basement, which he complained about.
Why?
I'm sorry, you are alive.
Yeah.
Leave it at that.
Dude, and if I lived in my brother's basement?
Oh, I would live in your brother's basement.
Dude, people don't realize how fucking cool my brother's basement is. It is fucking tits with all the baseball shit.
Thanks to his wife.
You're right.
Yeah.
Thanks to, yeah, his wife.
Cindy just, she can't stop thinking about Jesse. Her motherly heartstrings are just fucking tearing. So she writes Jesse a letter.
Mm.
And in this letter, she includes a family photo. Of her, Thomas, and the two kids.
Ooh.
And says, quote, let me introduce you to these people. The daughters are 12 and 14. And then mentions that she is the C in his email, TC Montgomery.
Ooh.
Yeah. She says, there is no son, only my 46-year-old husband. And then says, quote, from what I am pulling from your letters, you are much closer to my daughter's age than mine, let alone Tom's. Are you over the age of 18? In this alone, he can be prosecuted as a child predator. Mm-hmm. She goes on to say that she worries about her because she could be her daughter, and finishes the letter with, quote, "Do not trust words on a computer." So, props to Cindy.
Yeah.
I got to give you credit for that.
Yeah.
So, when Jesse got this, she didn't know what to think. Was there really no Tommy? Or was this someone else who wanted Tommy to themselves? Now, Thomas, in his infinite fucking wisdom, had previously mentioned, kind of introduced, a coworker of his to Jesse. Mm-hmm. This coworker would come online and play cards on Pogo.com.
Yeah.
So she tracked him down. Jesse did.
Mm. Oh, wow.
His screen name was Beefcake.
Oh, yeah. Come on now. It's got to be.
Beefcake was actually 22-year-old Brian Barrett. He was a student at Buffalo State College who worked part-time at Dynabraid with Thomas. He was going to school to become a teacher and was just an all-around good kid that everybody liked. He coached Little League and soccer and had just bought himself a new truck that he was pretty fucking proud of.
Yeah.
So Jesse went to Brian and was like, "Hey, so your coworker, is he Tommy or is he Thomas?"
Yeah.
And Brian was like, "Oh shit, he's Thomas. He's a 46-year-old married father of two." Ugh. And she said, "Cool, did you know we're in like a sexual relationship?" And
whoa.
Brian was like, no.
Whoa.
So he completely just ratted him out without, you know, ratting him out. Jesse went to him. So, so Brian confirmed everything that Cindy had said, completely denied knowing that Thomas was going by this whole fucking persona. But he had heard Thomas talk about moving to West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So Brian put two and two together, you know, pretty fucking quick, obviously. So he started talking to her. She was upset. So, you know, the conversations turned friendly. Jesse was devastated and Brian felt terrible. So he kind of just tried to be there for her. They would play a bingo game in a Princess Priceless room on Pogo.
Okay.
And there was constant messaging.
Whatever that is.
I know. On Yahoo. It wasn't long before it turned flirty. And then from flirty to intimate. They were exchanging photos and eventually started planning to meet in person. Makes sense.
Yeah.
She's 18. He's 22.
Yeah.
So the two are no longer really discussing Tommy, but Jesse is still pretty pissed. She also did not stop communicating with him, though.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Red
flag. So now she's communicating with Thomas to throw her new relationship with Brian in his face. Basically, you're a gross old man and a liar, and he's not.
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted to punish him. But now she starts bringing Brian into the taunting. Now, Brian started talking about his new relationship at work. He didn't say anything at first that it had anything to do with Thomas. But Thomas would obviously hear about it and assumed correctly that this was Brian's intention. Brian would eventually start logging in under Jesse's accounts to message Thomas and call him out on public forums. Thomas would also see Jesse and Brian in other chat rooms taunting him and calling him a child predator. They were going to the moderators of the rooms and eventually got him suspended from a game room. So Jesse is still talking to Thomas. And she's talking to Thomas as Thomas. She told Thomas that Tommy should always live on in his heart because he'd always be a part of hers. And that these are some actual IMs. Quote, "If he existed, I would still be holding him every night and sharing dreams with him every night. I ache to be with Tommy. Do you miss it, Tom?" And he responded with, quote, "More than you will ever know. My heart aches to hear you call me your Tommy. I wish I could be that 19-year-old Marine for you." So then she went on to tell Thomas that she only started talking to Brian because her life was a, quote, living hell, and she wanted, quote, everyone to hurt like she did. Now, It wasn't long before Brian started elaborating on his relationship with Jesse at work.
Yeah.
Now he was telling everybody, this is the chick that Thomas was supposed to run away with. And oh, by the way, she's fucking 18. So,
whoops.
Obviously, his reputation is now shit.
You think?
Thomas messaged Jesse that, quote, half the company thought he was a, quote, fucking loser and predator. Parents no
longer.
Because
he is.
Right. Parents no longer trusted him around their kids, and he was contemplating suicide.
Aww.
He said, quote, you can say goodbye forever to me and Tommy. To which I say, bye, bitch.
A poo-poo on you.
What is the problem?
Right.
So, 2 weeks pass with no contact. She starts messaging him again. This time she tells him she doesn't care what the truth is. She misses him and she wants to be with him.
Wow.
So now, this is an 18-year-old coming to the 46-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
The two started up again, pretty much as hot and heavy as before, probably more sexual than before.
Hot and heavy, that's what you call me.
Shut up. Thomas was beside himself with the rekindled relationship, okay? Until one day, Jesse abruptly ended it again. She said what they were doing was wrong, and she had made a mistake breaking it off with Brian. They had more in common, they made more sense, and she was going to go back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas was furious. Brian started throwing it in his face again, and Thomas would go online and start messaging both of them, actually.
Wow.
He was telling him that he started training. He was now running 5 miles a day and spending 2 hours
doing karate.
Yeah. There were vague threats to Brian at work.
Give me a judo job.
Everybody at work was like, ha ha ha. Somebody wore a bulletproof vest one day as a joke. Like, ha ha ha.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Funny, not funny.
Right. So eventually he did get written up for confronting Brian. The supervisor at work was like, I can't really do shit about it. Like, it's not happening here.
Yeah.
But then it was happening there.
So, right.
You know, Thomas would message Brian, quote, I can't believe you chose her over our friendship. You wanted her. You got her. Just tell her to leave me the fuck alone. This is where it's going to go real downhill, real fucking quick. Jesse kept talking to both of them. Ooh. Despite telling the other one that she wasn't.
Right.
Okay. If Brian was online, she was talking to him. If Thomas was online, she was talking to him. She told Thomas that she would stop talking to Brian. Thomas agreed to forgive her, but then continues to verbally abuse the fuck out of her.
Jesus.
One of the messages he sent was, quote, if I find out any lies were told to me, you will lose something very close to you.
Whoa. Whoa.
Here, it gets bad. It gets really bad. So now Thomas is kind of confronting Brian still because he's vaguely talking about going to meet Jesse still, that he's going to drive out to West Virginia. So Thomas sends Brian a message. Trigger warning.
Trigger warning.
Quote, have fun popping her cherry. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not the bad.
Yikes.
Quote, tell your cum-sucking, N-word-loving little whore to stay the fuck out of my life.
Oh, my God.
I would like to remind you that this is a 46-year-old man talking about what he thinks is an 18-year-old female.
Dude.
This is to an 18-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Okay? They still were talking. They still were talking. He was up all night talking to her. He would shower her with attention and make vague comments about his, quote, snake in her West Virginia fox, which would become his screen name later, by the way. Yeah. Tommy loves WV Fox.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What a fucking goof.
But then would make comments about posting her address online so, quote, N-words could find you easily.
Jesus. Racist much?
Yeah. Jesse would talk him down, but she almost thrived on begging him to, like, not, quote, delete her from his life. Thomas then convinces Jesse that Brian only wants to come see her for sex.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Yeah. Hello.
He's a 22-year-old named Beefcake.
What do you think? Yeah.
But at least he's honest about it, though.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So, Jesse decides to break it off with Brian and goes back to Thomas again. Thomas is obviously thrilled that she has broken it off and tells Jesse that he was so jealous he thought about killing Brian. Mm. That was typed out.
Was it really?
It's also what we like to call premeditation.
Yeah. Hello.
So she thrives on this and eggs him on. She's like, oh, you're going to kill him. Oh, you're going to kill him. Then they start having cyber sex with Thomas pretending to be Tommy.
How the fuck do you have cyber sex?
I don't know.
I'm not with it. Like, I don't get it.
I don't know. But then...
play with my wiener.
I don't know. Thomas finds out that she's talking to other guys online and writes to her that the next time he sees her, he wants it to be when she's, quote, being gang raped by a group of N-words.
Dude, this guy is throwing the N-words out like fucking nothing.
Yeah.
We are in West Virginia, though, right?
Well, he's in New York.
Okay. Nothing against West Virginia, but like, dude, this guy's got to settle the fuck down.
So then allegedly her mom at some point gets online and says no more. So they change their names so they can keep talking. This is when he becomes Tommy Loves WV Fox.
Jesus.
But then he finds her MySpace, which she allegedly did not tell him about.
I never had a MySpace.
So she finds out that that Jesse is reconnected with Brian. And with MySpace, there was like...
I don't know how
it worked. You could rank your friends. Like, who you were talking to would be like ranked.
Okay.
But like, you could actually rank your friends.
Okay.
So maybe that's how he saw it. I don't know.
Yeah. I
don't know. Kelly did mine. I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah. I know nothing about MySpace. I never did it.
So he loses his shit and sends her a message that says, quote, "You're nothing to me now but a lying whore who wants Brian's cock in her."
Whoa. Hey, yo.
Yeah. Jesse is finally like, okay, this is a bit much.
Yeah.
She tells Brian about the threats. Brian says he's going to report him to their supervisor, which nothing can come of that. Thomas continues with the threats and the verbal abuse, and she begs him to let her go. She's basically like, you're fucking crazy. Like, I wanted to end this as friends. You're making that absolutely impossible. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to block you.
Okay.
She didn't block him. He continued. She was ignoring him, but she didn't block him. So he had become increasingly violent and threatening. On September 13th at 1:33 a.m., he sent her a message that said, quote, "You are a whore, and that's all you will ever be."
She Good talk.
Says, yeah, quote, "I'm leaving now." She signs off and then proceeds to ignore him. He sent several more messages throughout the day and got no response. On September 14th, he sends her another message that says, "Hey, whore, you suck your boyfriend Brian's cock today."
Oh, jeez.
No response. On September 15th, he attempts to call her, screaming. She might have, some sources say she picked up the phone. He was screaming. She hung up. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Later that day, Thomas grabs his .30 caliber carbine rifle and heads to Dynabraid. He sits in the parking lot waiting for Brian.
Wow.
While he's waiting, he eats a peach and throws the peach pit.
Well, yeah.
Pin that.
I mean, you're hungry.
He then decides that he's going to slash a tire on Brian's truck so he can't get away. At 10:16 that night, Brian punches out and walks to his truck. He gets in, and before he can even get the keys in the ignition, three shots pierce the driver's side window. Brian is shot in the neck and the upper arm and dies instantly, but slumps sideways out of sight. Mm. Just before midnight, Thomas messages Jesse, quote, "You waiting for your boyfriend?" And then at 2:15, he says, quote, "Come on, your boyfriend Brian won't mind you talking to me." He's dead.
Yeah.
So, now this was a Friday night. Brian wasn't expected anywhere over the weekend, so he sat for 2 days
before he was found. Oh, man.
An officer...
That's brutal.
Yeah, an officer doing patrol realized that the truck hadn't moved for 2 days and went to check it out. So, that's how Brian was found.
Wow.
Because he was slumped over. You couldn't see him. You
know? Yeah.
So,
still. 2 days. Yeah. Man.
They immediately started interviewing coworkers who immediately brought up Thomas. They said that there had been several confrontations and Thomas continuously badmouthed Brian at work, and that Thomas's behavior was becoming increasingly erratic. he had asked a coworker about 2 weeks prior what time Brian's shift ended, and then told another coworker, quote, he wouldn't be stupid enough to leave shell casings lying around if he were to kill someone. And then talked about his rifle and said if he was going to kill someone, that's what he would use.
And he left a peach.
So they told the police all about the online relationships with Jesse. And detectives went through Brian's phone and found Jesse's phone number. When they couldn't immediately find Thomas, they assumed he was on his way to West Virginia to get her.
Wow.
Lieutenant Ron Kenyon called Jesse, confirmed the relationship, and warned her that she might be in danger. So then he called the local PD in West Virginia and requested that somebody go to Jesse's house.
Yeah.
Officer J.L. Kirk arrived at Jesse's house at about 6 in the morning. Jesse, her, and I wrote Mom Mary, which made me think Mom Air.
Yeah. What we call my mom.
So her mother, Mary, answered the door.
Mother Mary.
And depending on the source, either said that she wasn't home or she no longer lived there.
Yeah.
And that she had no way to contact Jesse. So Kirk called Kenyon from the house. And Kenyon was like, no, I literally just called there and talked to her. She's somewhere. She's either in the house or she's close. Like, just talk to her.
Weird.
So Kirk goes back up to talk to Mary and says that her behavior is now striking him as odd.
Just a bit.
So he keeps pushing. And eventually Mary starts crying and, quote, came clean. Kenyon would go on to say, quote, she was very convincing. She sounded like an 18-year-old to me.
Oh.
Not the 45-year-old married mother of two that was the one actually talking to Brian and Thomas.
Oh, man. Man.
There's a double catfish for you.
Oh.
Now, Jesse was real.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Jesse was real. Jesse was, in fact, her 18-year-old daughter, whose identity and photos she had taken to talk to men online.
Wow. What a fucking bitch.
Everything that she said about Jesse was true, including the pictures. The concern, I mean, obviously, there's a huge concern, but she was talking to several men online and was sending these pictures of Jesse, but like...
Whose underwear?
I'll get there.
Oh, God.
Sending the pictures of Jesse and, like, her jerseys and stuff. So, like, you can track that shit down.
Oh, yeah.
You're lucky nobody came and took her.
Right.
She would take provocative photos of Jesse to send online and upskirt photos that Jesse didn't know about.
What is with this lady?
And would get Jesse's dirty underwear from the hamper.
Oh, my God.
There's your twist.
Oh, that's so gross.
So detectives finally got to Thomas to question him. He said, you know, they said, we're going to take you downtown, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, can I get my lunch from my car real quick so my peaches don't spoil?
Oh, you dummy.
The pit later tested positive for his DNA, by the way. So they also found a leather cartridge case, which had appeared to be dog hair on it, close to the peach pit. And they couldn't find the rifle, but eventually found pictures of the gun cabinet with the rifle in it.
So you got rid of it.
But now the gun cabinet doesn't have the rifle.
Yeah, sure.
He denied killing Brian. He said he was at a local restaurant at the time and got home between 10 and 10:10 at night.
You liar.
His cell phone puts him in the area of Dynabraid.
Yeah.
His wife actually said, too, you didn't fucking get home at 10 after 10. He got home at like 10:45.
Thanks, babe.
Did not budge on that, yeah. Police found thousands of pages of messages and photos saved to his computer.
Oh, my God.
The assistant district attorney, Ken Case, would later say it was proof of a man careening out of control.
You think?
Quote, he was a guy who, prior to this happening, was a very dedicated father. To make that much of a transformation as a result of communicating with a fictitious person. She's fictitious, no?
Fictitious.
It's pretty frightening. Yeah. Mm. So, now there's Mary.
Gotta go to the computer for this one.
Yeah, because I wasn't going to write this down.
Yeah.
So, there's a great article about this.
Where at?
It's on Wired.com. Mm-hmm. They did an actual, well, they attempted to do an interview with her. She wouldn't talk to him, obviously. Just cried about the whole thing. So people would say about Mary that she was, quote, one of the best parents around and was a devoted cheerleader at Jesse's basketball and softball games.
Oh, yeah.
The principal was so impressed with her dedication to the kids that he hired her for part-time clerical work.
Oh, Jesus.
She couldn't explain why she did it. She said she joined Pogo to relax and to kill some time. It was only after she used, like, she paid for a membership that it showed up under Jesse's screen name. So she was directed to a teen room and never bothered to correct it.
What's with these fantasies trying to be younger people? I don't get it. I mean,
she said she did not fall in love with any of them, that she was a happily married woman to her husband of 23 years.
Attention.
And that Brian was a, quote, sweetheart when he initiated the flirtation. Mm-hmm. She didn't know how to discourage it without revealing her true identity. You say, hi, I'm 45.
Right.
Not 18.
Just go to a strip club. Mm. If that's your fantasy, go to a strip club and fucking give dollar bills to a young chick. You know what I mean?
She just...
At least, an old enough chick.
She was bored. This was her. But, this was the mom.
Bored. But I'm talking about the guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you have fantasies about a younger girl, just go to a fucking strip club.
So, on November 27th of 2006, Thomas Montgomery was arrested and charged with murder. It was only then
that my bottle is popping.
That he found out Jesse's true identity. He didn't know yet.
Oh my God, really?
They arrested him, they cuffed him, and then showed him a picture of Mary and said, do you know her? He's like, no, should I? They're like, well, yeah, it's Jesse.
Oh, man. Again, hook, line, and sinker.
The cop said, quote, the blood drained from his head and he turned the color of the walls, which was a pasty white.
Son of a biscuit.
Damn it. So he was held at Erie County Holding Center in Buffalo. He kept trying to get his daughters to vouch for him.
Oh, that's creepy.
Like, they would call, and he'd be like, well, you have to tell him I was with you, or I'm going to go away for a long time.
Oh, what a dick.
Yeah.
That's a dick move.
Yep. Cindy filed for divorce.
Mm. Yeah.
And Cindy and the girls stopped visiting in March, and in April, he got a letter saying that they wanted nothing to do with him. He then tried to commit suicide.
Yeah.
And sucked at life so bad he couldn't even fucking do that. yeah.
Whoops.
So he gave an interview to Wired.
Yeah.
And he's just as fucking creepy. Because the guy doing the interview was like, dude, what? How?
What are you doing?
Start from scratch.
Yeah.
And he says, quote, when I'm talking to Cindy or you like this face to face, it's hard for me to say what I feel. But as Tommy, the words came easily. He then went on to say that he loved her, or believed he loved her, but knew he was never going to meet her. His plan was to kill Tommy off in Iraq, but Cindy intervened, is how he put it, too soon. Mm-hmm. No, you got caught. She didn't intervene in anything.
Yeah, you got caught,
you fucker.
Right.
So Thomas insists he was not the killer. He claimed that Brian had been getting calls at work from people who didn't like him, which that's not a thing. That never fucking happens.
Right.
And then said that when Jesse first met Brian, he was happy that she managed to find somebody her own age.
Sure.
I don't believe you, sir.
No. A poo-poo on Yeah.
So his lawyers would go on to say that fantasy and reality became blurred.
Yeah.
And you quote, think? By September of 2006, call it an obsession, call it an addiction, call it what you want, he was suffering from a diminished capacity of some sort. No shit.
Common sense?
Yeah. The prosecution said that his behavior was, quote, almost predatory, which I thought was nice because I thought it was predatory.
It is.
The motive was jealousy, obviously. And then said, quote, the chats reveal an obsessive desire to make Brian Barrett suffer. In one of the IMs, he told Jesse that given 10 cents, he would eliminate Brian.
Jeez.
This is all in writing.
Oh, what a dummy.
And you're saying you didn't do it.
You're an idiot.
In August of 2007, Erie County District Attorney Frank Clark and Assistant District Attorney Frank Sedita discussed a plea deal with Brian Barrett's family. They were hoping to spare the family from a difficult trial. And Frank Sedita said, quote, in situations like this, you deal very closely with the family. When an arrangement can be reached where you have a finality of a plea, I think the ends of justice are best served.
I don't know about that.
Why are we only going for, like, shit charges?
Yeah, I don't know about
why
that.
Did we not, and I could not find it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we not go for first degree murder?
Yeah.
Why?
It was premeditated.
Yeah.
It absolutely was premeditated. And you can't fucking change my mind on that.
So he originally pled not guilty.
Hmm.
And this plea deal was brought to him, which would give him minimum 20, maximum 25 with the plea deal. And he declined it in July.
Wow.
But then in August, he took it. And it's thought he took it because this is when the DNA from the peach pit came back.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he refused.
You're fucked, dude.
He refused to give DNA the whole time. But during his interview, asked for a Mountain Dew and then threw the can out. So they got their DNA.
Fucking dummy.
Yeah. So August 20th of 2007, he pled guilty to first degree manslaughter.
What?
He told Justice Penny Wolfgang in state Supreme Court that he intentionally shot Brian Barrett through the window of his truck. So he admitted to it.
Hmm.
He then, when was supposed to be his sentencing hearing on October 29th, attempted to withdraw his guilty plea and go to trial. Which I would have been like, okay, dumb fuck.
Yeah.
We'll go to trial.
Let's do it.
Let's show everybody what you fucking did.
Yeah.
Okay. But that had to have been just the charge, the manslaughter charge, which, dude, I don't understand.
I don't fucking get that one bit.
No. So Justice Wolfgang denied the request, saying that he entered the plea, quote, with full understanding of consequences. Now, Thomas argued that his original attorney basically said he could withdraw his plea at any time. And Thomas said that he had changed from not guilty to guilty, so he assumed he could just do it again. His new attorney said that the old attorney pressured Thomas to the plea, saying that it would be a tough case to win at trial.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it fucking would be.
Yeah, it absolutely would be.
It would be.
You have DNA.
You have thousands of pages
of
this man threatening.
Of text messages and shit.
Threatening Brian. Give me 10 cents, I'll fucking eliminate him.
Exactly.
I'll fucking kill him. Threatening what he thought was an 18-year-old girl.
Right.
Now, in reality, what probably happened was he found out that the Barrett family filed a wrongful death suit against him, Dinah Braid, and Mary Sheeler.
Mm.
He found out that statements from his plea could be used in the lawsuit. It's presumed that he thought he would stand a better chance at trial now that the key witness, Mary, might be reluctant to testify because of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
Trial. Go to trial. Go ahead. I fucking dare you.
Right.
Go.
Do it. Do it.
In late November of 2007, he ended up getting sentenced to 20 years with 5 years of post-release probation.
Oh, my God. So he's got to be out now.
Just about.
Oh, my God.
2007 will be 20 years. 2027 will be 20 years.
Yeah.
Assistant District Attorney Frank Sedita said he has shown that Thomas has shown no remorse. And says, quote, he's a stone-cold, calculating killer who put three bullets in an unarmed kid and let his body sit in a truck until it was discovered by a stranger.
And he's going to be out in his 60s, so he's still going to have a life.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Mm-hmm.
He'll be almost 70.
Still.
So I can't find what he was initially charged with,
mm-hmm.
just murder.
Oh, really?
And I know in New York, their murders are different than our murders here
yeah.
in Illinois.
Yeah,
significant, like, New York is one of the states that has, like, the most significant differences
oh,
with
really?
Murder. Yeah, their differences are very, very different.
Wow.
I can't find what he was originally charged with.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, I'm assuming that it got dropped to first-degree manslaughter with the plea deal.
It had to.
Why are we...
You're not going after that, the first
Why
fucking
the fuck
charge.
Why are we letting him plead a first-degree manslaughter?
Dude, that's ridiculous.
But the family, they said that they wanted, you know, the 25 years, but were prepared to deal with the 20, thinking that he probably wouldn't get out of jail alive.
That's still not enough.
No.
That is still Mm-mm. not enough. Fuck you.
Now, Mary was not charged with any crime.
Oh, my. You're kidding me.
Catfishing is not a crime.
Oh, my God.
They tried.
It should be.
There's nothing to charge her with. She didn't wow. ask anybody to kill anybody.
Yeah.
She didn't push him towards it. She didn't even suggest it.
Yeah, but in the commission of a crime.
Not New York.
Oh.
But there's no crime. She's not committing a crime. Catfishing is not a crime. She's not committing a crime.
I get it, but she is still...
Culpable.
Involved.
It's her fault.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And a murder had taken place.
But a murder had taken place, but not during the commission of a crime. She was not committing a crime.
Oh, my God. I get it, but...
Catfishing is not a crime.
Oh, my God.
It's not... She didn't.
It can't be as popular as it was. I mean, because
Cat
now.
Machine?
Yeah, I mean, now you have different social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram.
You know what I found out?
Or maybe it's more popular.
In
you
the
know?
Process of doing this. I know there was yeah. a catfish episode where a guy thought he was in a relationship with Katy Perry.
Oh, come on.
But there was also one where.
Let your titties hang.
A college football player?
Mm-hmm.
Thought that he was in a relationship with this chick from Hawaii, like
yeah.
full blown, wanted to get married. And she's like, I have leukemia, go play in honor for me. And he went on and played like the best season of his fucking life. And then gets told, well, she died by somebody who he thought was her
yeah,
brother.
What, wasn't he a pro football player?
He ended up
yeah,
going pro.
What's his name?
And it was,
starts with a T.
Yeah, it was a dude in
Tia
California.
Or something?
It was a dude in California the whole
yeah.
time. They did, like, SportsCenter did a whole fucking 2-hour long special.
Yeah, I know.
On him.
I remember that one.
So, like, you don't really have to be stupid.
No.
But these two, it's, I mean, what if he would have been like, I'm a 46-year-old man. And she was like, I'm a 45-year-old woman.
Right. Then you probably could have hit it off.
We like telling stories.
Right.
So... She, you know, Mary would say the whole time that she didn't do it for love or anything like that. She was happily married.
She did
married.
It for attention.
Well,
come on.
Her husband divorced her.
Yeah.
And Jesse cut off all contact with
yeah,
her.
Yeah, she did it for attention.
So, that is the Tall Hot Blonde murder.
Wow. That was good. That was good. I knew nothing about it. Like I said, when you told me we were doing it, I knew nothing about it. I never even heard of it.
It's fucked up, isn't it?
It's... Yeah,
and now
it's crazy.
You kind of have to dig a smidge to get like
some good info.
The bad stuff, like
yeah,
because there's quite a few podcasts on it. I will say that, but a lot of them won't say what he actually said.
Okay.
No, I want you to know what a piece of shit he is.
Oh yeah.
You need to know what a piece of shit he is.
Oh God, yeah.
And it just. I,
Fuck
I
yeah!
Don't
Are
even,
you kidding me?
And really. Like, on what, when you know the truth, you can go, okay, well, obviously it wasn't an 18-year-old girl. And that's
yeah.
why she kept pushing and pushing and pushing. But on the other hand, if you don't know, you're thinking it's a fucking naive as shit 18-year-old girl
yeah.
who thinks that she's in love with this person and will do anything to keep him.
Right.
And realistically, is in an abusive fucking relationship.
That's insane.
Whether he's in front of her or not.
Right.
He's making more than abusive, derogatory comments to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's begging him to stay. Man. That is an abusive fucking relationship. If you don't know the truth.
Crazy.
That's what you think.
Dude.
And
what
this guy.
A wild story.
He didn't know until after he got arrested. He thinks he's talking to an 18-year-old girl and calling her a
surprise.
Fucking
whore. Dude.
I want you to get ganged. What? Right? Sir, your daughters at this point are 13 and 15.
Exactly.
You're talking to what you think is an 18-year-old. She's 3 years older than right. your oldest daughter.
Yeah.
Cool. What if somebody talked to your kid like that?
Oh, my God, dude. Could you even imagine?
I'd be in jail.
I'd be in jail in a second.
But he thinks...
Wow.
Yep. And poor Brian, the only one who wasn't bullshitting anything.
Yeah, ends up dead.
Ends up dead.
Mm. Well, mm-hmm. this was a good one. Thank you for digging deep for it. So I hope you guys enjoyed this one.
Yeah, you know the language is going to be good when I give a trigger warning on language.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Please like, follow, and subscribe. Like I said, if you want to... go for our Patreon. We have several tiers. Each tier will give you free access to all the bonus episodes and ad-free. www.patreon.com/deathdoaspart1. We're rocking and rolling right now, so we'll be out with another episode.
It'll be soon.
Soon.
Yeah.
And I know the next one, I'm not going to spoil it because it's going to be good. It's going to be a good one.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's bad and it's good. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hope you guys enjoyed this and we will be talking to you soon. And Chance says goodbye.
Bye.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.